Welcome to Meals for Maturity, Bible talks to help you mature as a follower of Jesus, by Pastor Dom Fiocco.
Before the days of All Homes and Zango and realestate.com, etc., before you could visit homes online and do virtual tours, Wesley and I, my wife and I, we actually visited two homes in the flesh, in real life. We physically walked through doorways. And this is a number of years ago, and both homes left a lasting legacy in our minds. Both homes that we walked into, we've never forgotten. Both homes belong to pastors and their families, or rather their churches own them. And both homes stood in great contrast to one another. The first home we visited because we were invited for a special dinner event. But sadly, we never went back to that home again. I don't think we did anything wrong. We didn't break any 4th century BC Egyptian pottery vase, or we didn't criticise any weird art on the walls. And this was before the days we had children with us, so we didn't leave baby spew on the carpet or dirty nappies lying behind the lounge. As far as we know, we didn't do anything wrong. We just never went back to this pastor's home. We were never invited again back. In fact, we learnt that it was a pretty rare occasion for anyone, actually, to get an invite in the first place. And so we scored. We felt very privileged indeed. Well, the other home, the other pastor's home that's left a legacy upon us, is one where we can still picture the lounge and the kitchen, even though it's been about 30 years since we were inside. I'm not sure they even locked their front door. It seemed it was always open and revolving. You see, every Sunday night after church, about 40 of us from church, evening church, would take a 5-minute drive and we'd have supper in the home of this pastor and his family. We would crash their lounge room till about 10:30 each and every Sunday night. Now, I'm sure it was no easy task for them at the time, especially since they had 4 kids of their own and one of whom had Down syndrome. But their home was always open, and they shared their lives with us week in, week out. I can still picture the pastor falling asleep in his favourite lounge chair as a bunch of 20-year-olds ate and drank all their food and laughed and shared life together after church. Now, being a pastor myself, I can appreciate and understand Pastor Barry's primal urge to pray with his eyes closed in the guise of sleep at the time. So there were two homes that stood in great contrast, two homes that we've never forgotten, two homes that have shaped our lives and ministry more than we realised at the time. You know, sometimes you might be watching your favourite TV show when an emergency broadcast interrupts the program. So they say, we interrupt your program to bring you this emergency broadcast. And then there might be some warning about bushfire or floods. They're usually the top two here in Australia. Or maybe in the US, it's warnings about tornadoes or the next run for presidency by Donald Trump. Or in the UK, it might be an interruption to your favourite TV show because of some snowstorm or some royal birth that's happening. Well, today I want to interrupt our series from Ecclesiastes, not so much with an emergency warning, but perhaps with an encouraging challenge. It's one that got me thinking because of a little line in the time poem that we've been studying for the past few Bible talks. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 5b. There's a time to embrace. So the interruption in our series stems from this little phrase, and the focus is on the time to embrace, rather than the opposite, a time to refrain from embracing, which I suppose applied during the COVID years. And with this line in mind, I want to challenge every one of us, if you call yourself a follower of the Lord Jesus, to examine the use of your home and to embrace this line and to use your home as a time to embrace. Now stay with me here because I want to examine what the Bible says to us about our homes and hospitality, or in the words of the time poem, our homes and a time to embrace. Now let me preface this Bible talk by saying that I realise that not everyone might be in a position to open your home up and share in the ministry of hospitality, of embracing others in your life in this particular way. So for your encouragement, keep in mind that the Lord Jesus never had a home to open up to people, so you're in good company. Remember, the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head, and he was dependent on the hospitality of others. But take what this Bible talk can offer you and seek to apply it to your situation and to your place of residence, wherever that may be or whatever that looks like. Now, if you grab a dictionary, you'll find that the definition of hospitality might say something like this: the friendly and generous reception, embrace, and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. And that's close to the New Testament Greek meaning of the word hospitality, that is, love towards strangers, not strange people, though sometimes they do overlap. Now, as you look in your Bibles, you'll find that hospitality has always been part of the fabric of the people of God, both in the Old Testament and New Testament believers. While the way of the world, those outside of Christ, is often seen as a time to refrain from embracing, a time to take and get all you can for yourself, I'm speaking generally, of course, well, the way of Christ and his people is about giving and sharing of our lives and our resources, specifically being willing to open and welcome people into your home who don't ordinarily belong there. So, a time to embrace. It's a simple Bible talk today. I just want to scoot around the Bible and examine what it tells us about our homes for sharing and embracing. And firstly, we'll do it Old Testament style, and then we'll have a look at some New Testament references. And then I'll leave us with some biblical motivations for a time to embrace others. So let's examine the Old Testament when it comes to hospitality. Now, this is not going to be an exhaustive list, of course, of references in the Old Testament, just a few that come to mind. Genesis 18, verses 1 to 15, we have Abraham sitting outside his tent getting a suntan, and along come three visitors. Somehow, we're told, the Lord appears. And straight away, Abraham offers them a glass of water, a bath for their feet, and a chance to rest under his tree. Perhaps he has a hammock set up by a creek or something. And the next thing you know, Abraham's wife Sarah is busy making some baker's delight hot bread. And then Abraham picks out a nice looking calf for a barbecue. So simple acts of generosity, embracing and welcoming these strangers. The end result of this story, if you remember, is that Sarah is promised a child in her old age. And so we have hospitality and embracing associated with promise and blessing. And then Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 to 29, the very next chapter, is the account of Sodom and Gomorrah. But what stands out here is the welcome and embrace that Lot gives to these strangers, to the angels, as they arrive in Sodom. So this time, without going into great detail of this passage, this time it's hospitality and embracing that is linked to protection. The next one is Sarah is going to read to us from this passage.
Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7 to 11. If among you one of your brothers should become poor in any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother, but you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his need, whatever it may be. Take care lest there be an unworthy thought in your heart, and you say, the seventh year, the year of release is near, and your eye look grudgingly on your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cried to the Lord against you, and you be guilty of sin. You shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him, because for this the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake. For there will never cease to be poor in the land. Therefore I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy, and to the poor in your land.
God's people have been given the land here. It's one of the promises, remember, given to Abraham in Genesis 12. They've also been given the law to help them live as God's people, to stand out from the nations surrounding them. And here the command is to take care of the poor. and be willing to share and not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted, but instead to be generous without a grudging heart. So open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy, and to the poor in your land. This time, from Deuteronomy 15, this time hospitality and embracing others is associated with obedience to God's law and responding to his grace. Here's another passage, Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 to 24, the fascinating story of a Gentile, and a prostitute at that, offering lodging and hospitality to a couple of Israelite spies. Now, we aren't told all the details here of Rahab, which is probably a good thing, but in any case, she displays a gracious act of hospitality and protection. The end result of this hospitality and embrace is salvation for Rahab under Israel's God, and then the incredible privilege of making it onto the family tree of the Lord Jesus. Go figure. 1 Samuel 25 is another passage. Abigail provides hospitality to David and his army. And by the end of the chapter, Abigail's wicked husband Nabal is struck down by God and Abigail marries David. Now, for any single women listening, I don't think this is a direct application for you. So don't apply this story unless your name is Abigail and you meet a David who happens to be dressed in army gear and who also happens to be a king. Then maybe there's some application there for you. The final Old Testament example of hospitality and embracing a stranger that I want to give, and again, there's many more, but here's another one, 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 7 to 24. And in this story, a widow at Zarephath, which is outside of Israel's borders, this widow offers the prophet Elijah some bread. Even though she's facing starvation and has a dying son, she still embraces God's servant and provides simple hospitality. The end result is that she's richly blessed. Elijah ends up bringing her dead son back to life, and God graciously provides for them. So here, hospitality and embracing is also associated with God's blessing being upon them. On and on, the Old Testament gives us episodes of hospitality, and sometimes inhospitable acts as well. Each time the lesson is clear. God has been kind toward you. He's acted out of grace to you. You were once strangers and aliens in Egypt, and yet you've been shown the kindness and hospitality by God. Therefore, go and embrace others and welcome them as you've been welcomed by God. So that's a quick embrace of some Old Testament passages. When we turn to the New Testament, we find much the same story, though the issue of hospitality and embracing the stranger becomes even more prominent, I think, in the life of the follower of the Lord Jesus. Here's some New Testament references, and I'll make some brief comments along the way. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, Titus chapter 1, verse 8, these two pastoral references make it clear that the Christian leader, the elder, needs to have a habit of hospitality. It's one of the characteristics of a leader you find in God's household. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 16 to 18, this is about Onesiphorus, who embraces the needs of Paul with gracious hospitality. And then in 3 John verse 5, if you can find this one pager in your Bible, this reference is about Gaius, who's commended for welcoming and embracing the stranger and taking care of them. But when you read the New Testament, you soon discover that hospitality is not just a trait of the Christian leader or for the Christian leader or elder. It's to be a characteristic of all believers. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. And the assumption here is that offering hospitality is not always going to be easy. I mean, people might leave a mess behind. There might be dishes to wash, the laundry to do, bathrooms to clean. There's expenses to cover. There'll be energy lost by you after a big day of work, perhaps. But then this one-liner in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, is reminding us that we're not to embrace others in our homes and then go around muttering under our breath or having a good old grumble or whinge. You see, if you're going to resent having people over after they've gone, then the New Testament would say you're better off not inviting them round in the first place. I must admit, there are times I grumble away after people leave our home, usually because they've left me none of Leslie's treats and they've eaten them all, and I think, how rude. Here's another passage that Sarah is going to read to us from the New Testament.
Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 13. Let love be genuine, uphold what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality.
Romans 12, verse 13, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. This reference is specifically towards the believer in Christ. And the picture is that of hospitality that is not a one-off experience. It's not a once-a-year invite into your home, but it's a constant, persistent attitude and practice. That is, our homes, if we're able, are to be ready to embrace and welcome people who make up the family of Jesus. Another reference, Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2. Let brotherly or sisterly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, the Christian band Newsboys have a great song called Entertaining Angels that was based on this reference. Now, Leslie and I have welcomed a few strange people into our home over time. Some have been smelly. Some didn't talk much. They just sort of grunted a lot and ate our food. One time, someone, I remember, proceeded to tell me how fantastic his old pastor was and that I was never going to match up to him. We still sort of fed him and welcomed him, of course. Now, some people might even appear to be demon-like, but here we're told that we may indeed entertain angels and sometimes not even realize. So I've decided that whenever we have newcomers from church over to our house and then they don't come back to church ever again, well, I conclude, they must have been angels. Now, across the Gospels and the Book of Acts, we're given heaps of examples of hospitality, of what it means to embrace others in the name of Christ. So there's Zacchaeus, the converted tax collector, for example. He embraces Jesus, welcomes him into his home. There's Peter's home in Capernaum. It becomes a good base for the Lord Jesus and his gospel mission, as does the home of the sisters Mary and Martha, along with their brother Lazarus, when he wasn't lying down asleep in a cave for 3 days. Across the Book of Acts, you get the Philippian jailer. Once he's converted, he opens his home and his life up to Paul and Barnabas, as does Lydia for church and Gaius in Corinth and many others across the New Testament story. One final reference. Again, I'm not exhausting all the New Testament references, but this one's slightly different. 2 John chapter verse 9 to 11. 2 John verses 9 to 11 with a cross reference here to 1 Corinthians 5 verse 11. 2 John, everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Verse 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Now, this passage is telling us here's a time to refrain from embracing. Here's a prohibition for the Christian when it comes to embracing others and opening your home up for hospitality. Here is one exception where you shouldn't embrace and welcome someone. Here's one place where we're commanded not to offer hospitality. That is toward the false teacher, for they have so twisted and distorted the gospel of grace that we should not even eat with them, as 1 Corinthians 5 verse 11 says. But false teachers aside, it's hard not to miss the New Testament call for the believer to have a home that embraces and welcomes others in, whether strangers or perhaps just plain strange. So that's a quick fly through the Bible when it comes to teaching us about hospitality, Old Testament and New Testament style. But like most of the Christian life, it's not about commands and rules, you know, do this, don't do that. I doubt that simply giving you a few Bible references will really make a deep, lasting change in your life and practices and in your home. For that, you and I need, again, the gospel motivation to be people of sharing and embracing others. So let me close with three Bible motivations that encourage you and me to see our homes as a time to embrace, a place to embrace others in hospitality, and one that, of course, honours the Lord Jesus. So firstly, when you embrace hospitality, you remind yourself and others of the gospel welcome. We're motivated to share our lives, our homes, because that's exactly what God has done for us. Ephesians 2 reminds us that while we were still aliens and strangers outside of salvation, without hope in this world, God welcomed us into his family. He embraced us as his children. Not one of us, of course, deserves to be welcomed into God's family home. Not one of us has earned the right to be called a child of God. Not one of us is qualified to enter God's presence and sit at his table. But the message of the cross and the empty tomb is good news for strangers and sinners like you and me. And the ultimate act of hospitality is when we're embraced by the Lord Jesus and his Spirit is given to us, and it brings spiritual refreshment and renewal. The ultimate act is when he welcomes us into his church, which is like our temporary home until the new heaven and the new earth. For everyone who comes to Jesus has their sin burden lifted, and we find a welcoming embrace from a heavenly Father, much like the prodigal son receives. And so the gospel motivation is freely you have been given, so freely give. God has welcomed and embraced you, so welcome and embrace others. You were a stranger and God took you in. Let your home take strangers in. The gospel means an open door for you into God's presence. So have an open door policy toward others. Second motivation, when you embrace hospitality, you meet Christ. Hebrews 13 verse 2, remember, opens up the possibility of us meeting an angel. Well, here the gospel motivation is that we actually might meet Jesus. Remember the parable from Matthew 25 and the sheep and the goats? In this story, we're told how to meet Christ. He says, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me in. Jesus says, truly I say to you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine or sisters of mine, you did it for me. So Jesus is telling us, whenever you open your home up in an act of love toward fellow Christians, you're actually opening your home up to Christ himself. You're welcoming Jesus into your home, and God is pleased. And by extension, even if your home doesn't have an extension, when we embrace and welcome others into our homes, into our lives, we also offer the valuable gospel witness to those outside of the faith. And so we have another opportunity for people to meet Jesus. Finally, when you embrace hospitality, you remind yourself and others of the heavenly picture. In many aspects, the Christian home provides a glimpse of heaven to others, for our homes really are good preparation for heaven. For it was Jesus who says, I'm going ahead of you to prepare a room for you in heaven. So Jesus is getting a room ready for all who place their trust in his gospel of salvation. And so our homes and our hospitality are to be a glimpse, if you like, of eternity for the Christian. And it's no accident that often when the Bible gives us this glimpse, this picture of heaven, it involves lots of food and drink, a banquet table, a wedding feast, a heavenly all-you-can-eat buffet without being gluttonous and greedy. It's a picture of a table that's been set for you and me by our heavenly host. So there you go. There's three biblical motivations I can think of. Perhaps you can think of others, but three motivations when it comes to the matter of hospitality. Firstly, it's a gospel picture. Secondly, it is a chance to meet Jesus. And thirdly, it's a picture of heaven. And now that's the end of perhaps a Bible talk you weren't quite expecting. But hopefully you'll embrace all that the Bible is saying to you and me on a time to embrace. Now go and think how you'll embrace this Bible talk and put it into action for the glory of God. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Meals for Maturity. Keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.